Definition of Amrit, Nectar of Life. Kartar Singh, please explain to me one. So now Pai Sahib said, give me your questions all in one go, then I'll try to explain to you. So Kartar Singh says, please explain to me one, what is Amrit? What is nectar? Nectar of life in Sikhism. Number two, how is it obtained through baptism? How do you get Amrit through baptism? Number three, from where can one acquire Amrita? Number four, how does one feel when tasting and drinking Amrita? And what are its spiritual attributes? So four questions by Kartar Singh has placed before Pai Sahib. All this was in Punjabi. It's been translated in English. So the question one is, what is Amrit? Nectar of life in Sikhism. Number two, how is it obtained through baptism? Number three, from where can one acquire Amrit? And number four, how does one feel when tasting and drinking Amrita? And what are its spiritual attributes? Now Pai Sahib is replying. In the whole world history, people have given many names to Amrit. In English, it is called nectar. And in Persian, they call it Abhihyat. In Sikhism, it is called Amrit. Amrit is that which brings the dead to life. Amrit is that that brings dead to life. If you look at the word Amrit, it's actually Amrit. Mrit means moth. Put an era in front of it, it means opposite of moth, life. Amrit. Thus that he who doesn't die, something who brings dead to life, Amrit. And makes human beings immortal. So Amrit in Sikhism is called, is that which brings the dead to life and makes human beings immortal. These are also the attributes of Amrit in Sikhism. Seekers of many faiths have sought ways and means of becoming immortal. But the path shown by Guru Nanak, based on moral and spiritual discipline to achieve Amrita, is at once simple, convincing and ennobling. Everyone can put the Sikh ideas to practice. You do not have to perform any penance or self-mortification. You do not have to go to the forests or mountain caves. You can stay within the society as a householder and become spiritually immortal by taking Amrit. In the Kaljug, the age of moral and spiritual darkness, spiritual sovereignty of Guru Nanak is an accepted fact by the spiritually enlightened. Guru Nanak's advent in this world was to liberate the world. Greatest of all prophets is Guru Nanak, who has illumined me. This is Gurbani. The first three successors of Guru Nanak Dev Ji, Guru Angad Dev Ji, Guru Amar Das Ji, Guru Ram Das, had to face considerable physical sufferings at the hands of the opponents and rivals for Guruship. They remained unconcerned about the oppressive behavior of the opponents, but they carried on the dispensation of Amrit through baptism. Gurarjan Dev's brother sought the support of the Mughal rulers of Lahore to harass him and created many difficulties for him. Jahangir tortured Gurarjan Dev Ji to death and thus tried to put an end to Gurarjan Dev Ji's dispensation of Amrit. Through discrimination of Sikh faith, Guru Har Gobind Sahib suffered imprisonment. He fought four battles with the Mughal rulers. There was also a vigorous struggle and campaign by the imposter gurus, Minna, Meenes and Tirmaliyas, to replace the true guru, but they did not succeed. When Sri Guru Tegh Bahadur was declared the true successor by Guru Har Krishan and was found at Bakala, 22 imposter gurus and fake sodis set themselves as rival gurus. The Sikhs selected the true one because the real Amrit, nectar of baptism and true divine inspiration comes from the true guru. At Bakala, where all imposter gurus were put to test by the disciples, Guru Tegh Bahadur was accepted as the only true guru. All other pretenders were rejected by the Sikh Sangat. Guru Gobind Singh Ji 1666 to 1708 changed the whole pattern of dispensation of Amrit, and unlike all other prophets, he authorized every five accomplished and authentic Sikhs to give Amrit through baptism. The struggle for Guruship by ambitious individuals ended once for all. Individual cannot be a Guru after Guru Gobind Singh Ji. Only the five can perform that ceremony. All Sikh and non-Sikh historians have unanimously reported how the first five Sikhs authorized to baptize according to the new order of the Khalsa were selected. It is also recorded that Guru Gobind Singh gave such importance to the new dispensation that he asked them to give his baptism to him also. You read that now, that he asked himself to be baptized as well. Thus, Guru Gobind Singh did what perhaps no prophet or apostle of God had done. He thus instituted the collective leadership of the Khalsa elect as his successors. Some non-Sikh chroniclers were also eyewitness to this. From Guru Nanak Dev Ji to the middle of the life of Guru Gobind Singh, the Sikh gurus initiated disciples according to the rites of the Charan Paul Amrit. So from Guru Nanak Dev Ji to Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji, the ceremony was Charan Paul, Charan Amrit. And Guru Gobind Singh changed it to Khanderi Paul, which the Panch Pyare gave. The Charanamrit was given to Guruji himself from Guru Nanak Dev Ji to Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji. Now Khanderi Paul was given by the Panch Pyare. In this ceremony, the Guru personally prepared the baptismal water with the sanctifying touch of his lotus feet. The Charanamrit, Charan Paul, was prepared by Guruji's touching the water with his lotus feet. Guru Gobind Singh changed only the formal rites of preparation of Amrit from the initiation by the living gurus personally to initiation by the five elect Khalsa. The basic principle of Amrit remained the same. It is a scientific in the sense mesmerism and other such phenomena are scientific on a different plane. There is hardly any better form of imparting Amrit, the immortalizing nectar. And Guruji Paisab has given this long sort of winded description, right? Now Kartar Singh is saying, I have not as yet clearly understood how Guru Gobind Singh's baptism of the double-edged sword is the same Amrit as that of the earlier Charan Paul ceremony. So that I'm not understand how can it be the same? That was Charan Paul, this is Khande Madhav Amrit. How and why was the technique changed? What do you mean by saying it is scientific? Paisab, I have already made it clear in my answer to the last question that the only formal method of imparting Amrit changed. Instead of the Guru personally initiating the novice, the five enlightened elect, the Khalsa, who stand the test of living strictly according to the code of Sikhism, initiated the novices. This was done to save the Sikh community from the imposter gurus. There was to be no human guru after Guru Gobind Singh. The new baptism was in letter and spirit the same. You have certain scientific principles governing the laws of nature behind electricity and mesmerism. Similar principles are there in these ceremonies, and the baptismal water seen from the purely mental and spiritual planes. Kartar Singh, do you mean to say that the technique of electricity and mesmerism were used during the period of Guru Gobind Singh? I have travelled in Canada and USA. I have seen many shows depicting the powers of mesmerism and electricity. Now this is before 1914. But I have not seen any of these powers being used by the Sikhs who have been baptizing according to Khalsa baptism rites. Said, I've not seen this when they do the Amrit ceremony. What do you mean by that? Mesmerism has its own techniques of acquiring inner power, and sometimes one who practices mesmerism fails to achieve what he wishes to achieve. With the power he acquires, he can influence only a certain type of people and not everyone. Electricity with all its wires, plugs and bulbs can give light, and if anything goes wrong anywhere, the bulb will not give light. So, by Kartar Singh is raising these doubts and saying, Paisa, you're saying There's something scientific about the Amrit ceremony. I've never seen that. I've seen, witnessed many Amrit ceremonies, but I'm not really seeing any sort of electric charge or the mind sort of being mesmerized. What do you mean? And now Pai Sahib is going to go a bit more detail. The method of imparting Khalsa baptism. Pai Sahib, you, Pai Kartar Singh, are a baptized Sikh. You have joined the Panj Pyare, five elect, to baptize others. Yet, how sad it is that you have not understood the spiritual mystery of baptism. He said, you have actually done seva in the Panj Pyare many, many times. Yet you have not actually understood the mystery of the ceremony. For Khalsa baptism, the following things are essential. If you are not aware of them, listen carefully. 1. For administering the Amrit Sikh baptism, you require 5 Sikhs who are competent to administer the baptism by having lived according to the Khalsa code of conduct. Besides these 5, there should be 1 Granthi, reader of the Guru Granth Sahib, to preside over the ceremony by reading from the Guru Granth Sahib at appropriate moments, before and after the ceremony. All these 6 persons should be contemplative of divine Naam, well versed in Gurbani, and they should be regular in their prayers. None of them should have committed any act transgressing the Khalsa code of conduct. They must not only be morally sound, but also physically complete. By that, if you had any part of your body removed through an operation or an accident, like a finger or a toe, then you are not allowed to be in that ceremony. If you are anyway deformed, the rules are that you don't enter that ceremony. It's physically and spiritually complete that you will enter that ceremony. Now, a question was asked through the email system. Can Bibian do the seva of Panj Pyare? If not, why not? If yes, why yes? Now, here Pai Sahib is saying you require 5 6. He's not said he or she. In the Sikh Rehta, in the code of conduct prepared by SGPC, Shomini Gurdwara Prabandhak Committee, and the Panth in the early 1930s and 40s, which still stands today, in that, they have not said that only Sikhs can do the seva. Bibian can't do the seva. This question keeps arising time and time again. My humble request to whoever raised the question, whoever has the doubt, is really, the real question is not whether the Panj Pyare is a he or a she, is whether the he or a she is a competent person for that seva. Remember, that's the highest seva in the Sikh religion. There's no higher seva than that. So the persons who either volunteer or selected for that seva need to be very, very spiritually high, as well as being strict in their code of conduct. And if some Bibi thinks she is that high, then so be it. But it's up to the Sangat to select that Bibi or not. And I have not yet met one Bibi who thinks she is. I might feel that there are other Bibi, but I've never heard one Bibi say yet, I am up to that seva. I personally think there's nothing wrong with Bibi doing that seva. But if the Panj Pyare sings, then there's nothing wrong with that either. I think the other question also is, we have this uniqueness in Gurbani that Guruji addresses himself as the bride of God. And also Guruji stresses upon a married couple their duties. And one of the duties of a wife is that to her God really is her husband. She devotes all her love and devotion to her husband. That doesn't mean Guruji is second. It means that for her, he is prime. And the duty upon the husband is that he has to be very, very spiritually high and morally high as well to be on that status. That's probably why Bibi in the old days didn't really even ask or discuss this, why don't we do that seva? The Singhs did it and that was it. Nowadays, the question is more vocal, that some Bibi might think, well, it's just a seva, anybody should be able to do it. But I would stress that even out of the Singhs, not everyone is capable of doing that seva or is up to it. And if Bibi think they are, then, you know, that's up to them to think like that. But I don't think anybody should think like that, whether they're men or ladies, that they are up to that seva. And at the end of the day, it's a seva they carry out for that time. And it is up to Guruji to bless them so that seva is fulfilled beneficially to the Sikhs who are paid for Amrit. In the end, it is Guruji that makes it work. The Panch Pyare are a tool for that seva. They're only Guru in that moment when they're doing that seva. And they can only be Guru if they are spiritually high and full of love and devotion of Guruji. You can't put anybody there and say, well, the wonder of Guruji will happen. Not so. So none of them should have committed any act transgressing the Khalsa code of conduct. They must not only be morally sound, but also physically complete. Although the Sikh Sangat elects the Panch Pyares, but still they are asked to tell the truth about their inner life on oath of secrecy. In other words, when the Panch Pyare are selected, when they prepare for the ceremony of the Amrit, they, before they actually can dress themselves as a Panch Pyare and change their clothes, one by one, they should appear before Guru Granth Sahib and answer any questions about their life and their spirituality asked by the Sevadar sitting in the presence of Guru Granth Sahib. So even their life is inquired into before they are given that seva. And one might get rejected at even that stage. They might have to select somebody else. Those who have committed any moral offences are not permitted by the Sikh code of conduct, are rejected and replaced. If there is a minor transgression, he is given some corrective punishment, and a prayer is said seeking forgiveness for him. Punishment is generally in the form of obligatory duties for a fixed period in the form of public seva or special prayers to be recited daily for a certain period. This is like testing the wires, plugs and the sources of electric power. What Pai Sahib is doing is comparing this ceremony to how the electric current lights a bulb. Now, to light a bulb, you know that from the main station where the electricity is coming, all the wires must be connected. If the wires become disconnected, even if you've got your bulb there and the plug and wires, everything's safe, but if the electric coming through this building, the wire gets disconnected outside, you have no light. So the whole thing must be connected fully for the bulb to light. Any fault with the bulb, then you won't get no light. Any fault with the plug, you get no light. Any fault with the wires, you get no light. This is what Pai Sahib is saying now, in trying to do a comparison with how the electricity travels through the wires, through the plug, and then into the bulb. If the bulb is fused, you won't get no light. You have to replace the bulb. And Pai Sahib is saying that this Amrit ceremony is very similar to that. There are similarities. We need to understand them.